Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Why repentance is necessary. We just finished a series on baptism. You go back and go over that, and that will tell you what you need to do. Now, what you need to do first is to repent. But there's so many thoughts about what repentance really is that it's hard for people to figure out. Repentance is, let's read it, biblical definition. And isn't that the definition we need for everything? Yes, indeed. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Now in the King James it says, "He who sins transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now that is a true translation, but a much more definitive explanation of what sin is this. And this is what it means in the original Greek. And this is why we've translated it this way in the Faithful Version, the Holy Bible, in its original order. Now, if you don't have that, then you go online and find out how to get one. You need one because it corrects all the errors of the King James and the modern translations. It is incredible what they have done to the New Testament. So you need to get the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version. 1 John 3 and verse 4, the correct translation. Everyone who practices sin. Now, practices means living in sin. And a lot of people who think they are doing good are living in sin, as we will see today. Why repentance is necessary. Let's read that again. Everyone who practices sin. Are you practicing sin? Well, we'll examine exactly the laws which tell us what we should and should not do. And you will see you're probably living in sin while you're thinking you are doing good. Everyone who practices sin is also practicing lawlessness. Lawlessness means any deviation from the law of God. And the ultimate of lawlessness is the complete rejection of God and the acceptance of Satan the devil as the god of this world. And that, my friend, is where the world is heading. For sin is lawlessness. Now remember what we finished reading? Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not practice the things that I say?" Let's read Romans 3. What does Paul write about it? Sin is a transgression of the law, and we're going to examine the Ten Commandments in just a bit, and you will see that that will help you understand exactly what sin is, and you can evaluate your own life and your own behavior. And when you find that you are not doing what God says, you need to repent. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned, all, that means each and every one, and come short of the glory of God. Now, what does that lead to? What does sinning lead to? Let's come to Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Now, that's not just talking about a physical death, because we all die in Adam. That is talking about final, permanent, spiritual death. or you no longer exist. Now then, let's come back to Exodus 20. Let's read something really important here with Ten Commandments. And let's ask the question, and you ask the question, about yourself. Because Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, and to bring the spiritual meaning of all the laws and commandments of God. And there is no way that you're going to receive eternal life if you do not, number one, repent, and number two, be baptized, and number three, live in accordance with God's laws and the teachings of Christ. Now let's come to Exodus 20. Because this is God speaking first person. And remember this, the laws of God have always been in existence. There couldn't have been sin with Adam or with Cain unless there were the laws of God. It's that simple. Notice what God said to the children of Israel just before he spoke the Ten Commandments. Verse 5, Exodus 19. Now therefore, if, and of course, of all the 1,700 ifs in the Bible, they all apply to us as human beings. If you will obey my voice indeed. Now that's why it's important for you to understand that when you read the Bible, that is the recorded voice of God. In whatever language the Bible you have, that's the recorded voice of God. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, now then, you add that to the New Testament and the covenant with Christ and the covenant of eternal life, and it expands it out even more. You shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. The people said, yes, we'll do it. Well, let's see what God requires. If you're going to come to God, you got to understand this. So we're going to look at the Ten Commandments in a very detailed way. And I want you to ask yourself the question, do I keep this commandment? Or do I transgress this commandment? And when you're thinking of that, remember this, that the Apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, that if you sin in breaking one commandment, you have broken them all. Exodus 20, verse 1, and God himself, personally, spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Spiritually speaking today, the whole world is in bondage in Egypt. So today this still applies because when God calls us and brings us out of spiritual Egypt, it's also called Babylon the Great, then it means the same thing here for us today. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. Do you have other gods before the true God? Do you break some of the commandments of God so you can worship your false God? And here it's not just talking about the other gods of the world, which it means as well, but it's talking about the fake Christianity which is prevalent in the world today. which had very little, if anything, to do with the true God. And so, therefore, they have another God before them. Now, what about you? Do you have anything that you put ahead of God? That you put God off because you want to do this? Or you forget all about God because you want to do that? Then that is another God before the true God. So it can be money. It can be other people. It can be a pagan religion. It can be false Christianity. So what do you have in your life? For some people, it's a job. For some people, it's a car. For some people, it's notoriety and prestige. For other people, it's having sports and winning. Now, see, many of those things, or some of them, could be right if you love God first. Because remember, it is here. If you will obey my voice and keep my commandments. Okay? Now let's look at the second commandment. You shall not make for yourself any graven image of any likeness that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Not even to make it. No idols. Do you have a cross in your home, or around your neck, or on your earring? Huh? Do you have pictures of Jesus? Do you have statues of Jesus? Do you have statues of angels? Pictures of angels? You shall not make. Are not all of those made? You shall not make for yourself any graven image of any likeness that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Yes, indeed. Furthermore, let's read on, because the Catholics and pagans have great problems with this. And they are breaking this commandment over and over and over and over again, which means that they've broken the first commandment as well. All right? Let's read it. Verse 5. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. Now think about that. Because if you do those things, you hate God. Well, no one's ever told me that. Well, that's true. Now, where else can idols be that you create that are not visible to the naked eye? Huh? Did you know that those exist? So let's come to Ezekiel 14. Let's see what God says about idols that come between you and God. And that if you have these idols, God won't hear you. Ezekiel 14. The elders of Israel, the leading people, came to me and sat before me. They came, oh, tell us what the word of God is today, Ezekiel. We would like to know. See, and this shows that there are a lot of people who have idols that they don't know about, that they think they're serving God. And they want to know more information from God. But notice what God said. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts. Huh. Do you have idols in your heart? Do you have your mind on something more than God? Is that your sole purpose of what you're doing? What is it? In your mind. See, and ultimately we will see conversion and righteousness and truth is in the mind. Whereas now, their sin, their idols. God will not respect anything you say or do as long as you have those idols in your mind. Notice what continues saying. And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I at all be inquired of them? No. You cannot cry out to God while you are actively practicing and living in sin, while you have idolatry, whether real idols or idols in your mind, and ask God to be with you and bless you. He won't hear you. Have you ever thought of that? So think about your life. What do you have? Do you have idols in your mind? People, places, things, gadgets, inventions, whatever. What do you have in your mind that is your idol? Now notice, therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. In other words, he agrees with it. And he's actually stumbling away from God. And comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. Now notice verse 6. Idolatry is so very important to understand because it cuts you off from God. Now I want you to take a look at St. Peter's Basilica. Look at all of the idols. Look at all of the men. Look at all of the rituals. Look at everything that they have physically. Those are all idols. And they worship them and bow down before them and pray to them. And in the Eucharist of the Mass, they eat them. Amazing. But people don't know that because they've been deceived and believe that that is true when it's not. Now notice God says this, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols, so that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they have deserted me for their idols, all of them. So sin is a transgression of the law. And this is the law, number 2 of the 10 commandments against idolatry. And where does it begin? In the mind, and in the heart, and in the attitude. Notice what he says. Verse 6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, and God is saying this to every other individual. Thus says the Lord, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Get rid of them. Destroy them. Don't use them. Don't bow down to them. Don't come near them, because they are all a deception from Satan the devil. Now let's come back to Exodus 20, second commandment. We're not going to get through all of them in this segment, so we'll continue on in the next segment because we need to finish this so you can understand how the laws of God operate. And the laws of God operate just like the law of gravity. They're out there everywhere. It's part of everything that there is. That's why there's good and there's evil and there's right and there's wrong and there's sin and there's righteousness. Back to the second commandment. Exodus 20 and verse 6. But showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do you love God and keep his commandments? See? That's New Testament doctrine. Do you want the mercy of God? Then you've got to repent and obey. Now let's see how this is New Testament doctrine. Let's come to the New Testament, John 14. Now, think about this. Do you say you love Jesus? Do you say you love God? But you think you don't have to keep the commandments of God, and Jesus doesn't want you to keep them? Huh? Well, that is a lie. And that is false doctrine. Because here are the first person quotations of Jesus. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, what's the requirement? If you love Jesus, it's not just an emotion to say, oh, I love Jesus. But if you're breaking the commandments of God, you don't love him. And your emotion is wasted on something which appears good, but is sin. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely, my commandments. How about that? Doesn't that tie in with what we read in Luke, the 6th chapter? Why call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? And since he was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament and spoke the Ten Commandments, what do you think about that? Verse 21 of John 14, the one who has my commandments has them, knows them, all the Ten Commandments, and is keeping them. Whoa, keeping, present tense participle, meaning continuously. That is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, Judas didn't understand that. He said, Lord, how's that going to be? How are you going to manifest yourself to people, but not to the world? Well, he does it by his Spirit. But notice the result of this. Verse 23. And why this is important. And why this is New Testament doctrine, and why you need to keep the Ten Commandments and all the commandments of God that pertain to the way that we live and our relationship with God. Now, verse 23, Jesus answered him and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, that's the whole message of Jesus. Do you do that? That's what God wants us to do. Now notice the blessing that comes. And my Father will love him. Set it up there in verse 21. That's the whole thing with the new covenant, the New Testament. The Father himself loving you. Personally, as well as Jesus Christ. And notice what will happen. And we, that is with the power of the Holy Spirit, will come to him and make our abode with him. That means the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in our minds and in our heart, and we're living by every word of God. Now notice what Jesus says. If you don't do that. So you have to ask yourself, what are you going to do? And are you going to come to God and are you going to repent? Because we'll need to explain more about repentance so you can come to God. And it's not like the world says, a come to Jesus moment.
Go right through your body right now. Fire of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. 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 Fire right now. That's it. That's it. In Jesus' name. That's it. It'll go right through you.
It is your coming to the true living God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, his Son. But notice, if you don't do it, if you go on your way and you have a religion that breaks any one of the Ten Commandments, and most of them all break the fourth commandment, so they're not in the category that we're talking about here. So we'll cover that next time. Notice verse 24. The one who does not love me does not keep my words. So if you're not keeping the words of Jesus Christ, you don't love him. And if you're not keeping the commandments of God, you don't love him. And you have no part with him. But you can repent. You can turn to God. You can repent and receive forgiveness. But you've got to come to God his way. And you've got to love God and keep his commandments, see? The one who does not love me does not keep my words, for the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, there's a lot to learn. So what is your life? What are you going to do? You need to write for our book. Lord, what should I do? You need to write for our booklet, Why Christianity is Failing. You need to write for our book, Why Were You Born? Seen along with all of this, all of these people out there don't know why they were born. Now that's an amazing thing indeed. Think about that. You live your whole life, and you don't have a clue why you were born. Well, we'll cover all this and much more. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.